Happy Thanksgiving to you. It's so great to be together this morning. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Hope you guys had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. It was great. If you're in a food coma, then we need to repent, right? So it's, I'm just kidding. But it's really great to be together. It's great to be able to share with you. I'm just trying to situate myself here so my computer doesn't do some funny things here. Awesome. We're going to continue in our series with stewardship, okay? So last week, Jeff did an amazing job. I am Kendall Knight. I am the other Kendall, okay? There's another Kendall, Kendall Albert. And I will tell you today, if you have some issues with the sermon, just go ahead and email Kendall, okay? So you can go ahead and do that. That way we're, you know, we're on the same thing. I'll give you his email, kendallalbert@nrclc.org, whatever it is. No, I love that, brother. I saw him pulling up. His kids were going down the hill as they were sliding down the hill, getting nice and dirty right before church. So that was awesome. But it's really good to be together. And I just want to kind of hold up those guys who've preached the last couple of weeks. Of course, Jeff did an amazing job preaching on stewardship. We need to go ahead and give him a round of applause. He may not be here, but he did a great job challenging us there. Opening up those pastorals, really helping us understand what stewardship is. And I really appreciate what Kendall did last week, the previous week, just helping us understand that as a collective, each one of us are valuable together as opposed to being apart. Of course, Jeff's illustration about the peanut butter was great when he talked about just how we can all get stuck, you know, and get caught up in the world. And he really helped us with that to really help us see that. But as I've been studying stewardship, there's many more concepts to stewardship than just financial. And really today, what I'm going to do as we talk about stewardship, I'm going to take you through some scriptures. We're going to have one scripture up at the end that we'll be able to read together. But the other scriptures, we're going to kind of finger through the Bible a little bit, you know, scroll through your device. You can't look on the board because the scriptures won't be there. So share with someone else if you didn't bring your Bible. I'm just kidding right there. But really, we're going to look through some scriptures and just really take a look at some things that God has provided us through stewardship. When you look at stewardship, in many ways, as I've done looked at this topic comprehensively, it's really amazing. The Greek just kind of has a form that says stewardship is about managing something, right? It's about managing something, you know? And when it talks about managing something, that means whatever you're managing is on loan. So essentially, what stewardship is in the Greek, it just simply means managing a household, right? If you're sort of a parent or your family working together, you know what it means to manage a household. Well, in essence, God has gifted us our lives, and he wants us to steward those lives accordingly. In other words, everything that we have is not our own. We are essentially on loan from God to really represent who he is to this world. Are you guys with me here? And so really, I think that's really, really important when we talk about stewardship, because when you get into stewardship and you start talking about money, Jeff helped us out, we get really funky, you know, like it's our money. It's not our money. In fact, our lives are not our lives. You know, we're just temporary vessels to represent the living Christ. Are you guys with me here? And I think that's really, really important when you think about stewardship and how we steward ourselves and how we steward ourselves for God. So when you look at stewardship, what is stewardship? What does spiritual stewardship mean? Stewardship, quite simply, is recognizing that everything we have and everything we are is a gift from God. And being grateful and generous with those gifts, God reveals his perfect and infinite love for us most visibly in his Son, Jesus Christ. A steward makes God's love visible by imitating Jesus. You know, that's really the meaning of a spiritual steward, is that really what we want to understand is that everything we have is a gift from God, and that we're grateful and generous with those gifts, and that God reveals his perfect and infinite love for us most visibly in his Son. And that's what he did for us. And so today, as we talk about stewardship, as we continue with stewardship, yes, we'll continue in the phases of giving, but I want to talk about four things, four gifts that I believe God has given us through stewardship. One, he's given us the gift of ministry. God's given us the gift of ministry, okay? Two, he's given us the gift of health. He's given us the gift of health. Three, he's given us the gift of giving. And four, he's given us the gift of an eternal reward. Let's look over here. I just dropped that was sort of my prop that I dropped. I didn't want you guys to see that. It was coming, but it dropped. It's Pop-Tarts, actually, so. But it's out the bag now. Okay, all right. So much for that. Man, I tell you, the Spirit has a way of kind of just doing things the way it wants to do them. So, amen. We'll just kind of go with that. Let's look in 1 Chronicles 29. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, we're going to kind of pick it up here in verse 10. This is after the temple has been constructed. And what's really amazing about it is that David, towards the end of his life, has this incredible prayer to God. And he's sharing about how generous and amazing God is. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10, it says, David praised the Lord in the presence of the holy assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." I'm going to keep going. "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we've given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as we are all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I've given willingly and with honest intent. And now I've seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. Lord, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you." Amen. Brothers and sisters, that is a powerful, powerful prayer. You know, as I was looking this stuff up, you know, David gave, 3,000 talents of gold to line the walls of the temple, and something like 7,000 talents of silver, refined silver, to also line the walls of the temple. You know, back then, I don't know exactly monetarily what it represented, but I know that the 3,000 talents today is somewhere between $3 and $4 billion. That's what it would cost today to do the work that they did back then. $3 or $4 billion. And then, you know, as he looks, Solomon's about to be the king, and shortly thereafter, David he passes away. But at the end of his life, what I really appreciate about his life is how pure his heart was to surrender God's possession for his mission. Yep. To really part with those gifts that God had given him. And he said clearly, "God, everything we have comes from you. Everything we have, everything we are, everything who we are, our being, it all comes from you." You know, I tell you, when we get crunched financially sometimes, it's hard to look at it that way. When we want to put our kids through college and we want to kind of save for retirement, which is big in the West, you know, it's hard for us to part from dollars. But to me, the thing I appreciate about David the most is how valuable God's mission was to him. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The first point that I want to share with you guys is the gift of ministry. When you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting here in verse 17, look at what Paul says here. Really appreciate this. "Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, though God would make his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, in a time of my favor, I heard you. In a day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor, and now is the day of salvation. The first point here, guys, stewardship is a gift of ministry. Each and every one of us here today are ministers of reconciliation. Each and every one of us who've decided to make Jesus Lord is a minister of reconciliation. God has given us this amazing gift to be representatives for him in this dark world, to be his ambassadors for Christ, to lift up the holy name of Jesus, to preach the kingdom and forgiveness of sins, to reconcile dark lives. Those who were in relationships, you know what it was like. We were in those immoral relationships, or we were strung out on drugs, or we were strung out on video games. I hope we're still not strung out on video games. You know, we're strung out on wherever we are, and there was somebody that walked up to us and said, hey, I'm part of this amazing ministry, this amazing Jesus. I want to tell you what he's done for our lives, and as a result, all of us are here. Amen? It was a gift that was given, and someone paid to give forward so that we can have this amazing relationship with Jesus. You know, but the thing that's amazing about it is, I can remember when I was reached out to, and man, I was on the brink of really wanting to take my own life. I was in a poor relationship, a challenging relationship, much of it my own doing, much of it my own fault, and just did not know how to have a good relationship without it being physical. I just didn't know how to tie it all together. And I can remember the day that I was eating Trinidadian food. I never ever forget. It was peas and rice and callaloo and black cake for lunch, for dinner, for dessert. I remember specifically, and it was this young lady who was a party club head, and she would always go out on Saturday nights, and she would say, man, I want to tell you about this amazing ministry, this amazing church, and it's just about Jesus. It's not about the Pope. It's not about some leader. It's not about prosperity doctrine, which Jeff hit last week. It's this amazing ministry that simply raises Jesus as Lord, and all we do is study the Bible with people. I thought, man, I'm unchurched. That resonated with me. That really lifted me up. I'm like, wow, this is awesome. Let me check this out. Well, I don't know if I said it was awesome. I thought it was okay, you know. But eventually it was a great, awesome experience. And I can remember studying the Bible and finally becoming a disciple. And now here's the thing. For me, I studied the Bible, and then Diane knew and said, hey, this guy Kendall is studying the Bible. She was in Brooklyn at the time. And they said, well, Kendall's here. And Kendall's gone. You know, I took off for about a month because I really couldn't face the scriptures and having to give up and sacrifice the things for this amazing gift. And so finally I came back and studied the Bible, got baptized into Christ. And then as a young Christian, I started to struggle with some of the same things I struggled with in the world. Some of my purity started to blow up. Some of the things were a challenge. In fact, we were out with a couple on Friday night, and we were talking about some of the things we still struggle as Christians with 20 and 30 and 40 years, how much of a battle it is to stay faithful. How hard it is. Man, you would think that after these many years, I should be doing better in this area. It doesn't necessarily mean the case. One of my greatest highlights recently as an older Christian is having the opportunity to study with our new young brother, Jeremiah. And I had been asking God, God, please, please. I was feeling this pressure. God, please. There has to be somebody that wants to become a Christian through my life. There has to be somebody that I can help take all the way through the scriptures and help them see Jesus. It could help my faith and build my faith. Man, I'm one of the leaders and evangelists of the church. I need to be studying the Bible with somebody. And then my dear brother, Andy Pilcher, called and said, hey, I got this young guy who wants to study the Bible. And then we pulled Bryce in, and we pulled Kyle Walker in, and we pulled Tom Masters in. And then, hey, 2 weeks ago, you saw our dear brother Jeremiah was baptized into Christ. Amen. That was awesome. And I felt great about doing that. And as an ambassador, man, it's kind of like, it doesn't matter what you look like, because we all have this amazing gift to give to Jesus. The thing is, what I want to share with you guys, are we stewarding God's ministry the way he would expect us to? Are we leading with ambassadorship? Are we being ambassadors of the gospel? I really believe, to me, I think that every Christian, and I'm not trying to freak you guys out with old theology. Many of you know what I'm talking about, right? Sort of talking in code a little bit. I'm not trying to freak you out with old theology. Nobody's going to take your stats. Nobody's going to say, bro, how you doing? Nobody's going to do that stuff. But I am saying that every disciple should feel some healthy pressure to hold up the gospel as an ambassador for Christ. Amen. I am saying that. Amen. That the mission of Jesus should not exist with us. And when Jesus says, you know, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, I hope it's not us who are in that statement. I hope it's not us that are in that statement, because that's not a good steward. Just like Jeff got on fire about some of us not giving, I'm on fire, guys. We need to be all about the mission, bro. We need to be all about it. Let me tell you something. When I coach football, guys be shaking hands and coaches be trying to shake hands. Hey, man, good to see you before the game. I don't want to see you before no game. I'm trying to knock you out. Hey, it's good to see you, bro. It's good to see you after the game, after we win. You know, I was listening to something with Kobe Bryant, man. Kobe Bryant, man, it was, God bless him. He had this Mamba mentality. He was like, I'm going to outwork you. There's two kingdoms here, guys. There's Jesus' kingdom and there's Satan's kingdom. If we don't say nothing, who's winning? Who's winning? We don't say nothing. We don't say nothing, who's winning? It's all about being an ambassador. A U.S. government ambassador is the president's highest ranking representative to a specific nation abroad. She is a spokesperson, or he is a spokesperson for the United States to the nation in which she resides, as well as a spokesperson to the United States on behalf of the other nation. He or she is skilled in negotiation and has a patient tenacity to accomplish his nation's goals through the spirit of reconciliation. As God's children on earth, we are his representatives, sent with a mission to see his purposes carried out in our world. We do so most effectively from a stance of reconciliation, not retaliation. Amen? Amen. That's what an ambassador for Christ looks like. We do it together on behalf of Jesus. Are you guys with me? The second point is the gift of health. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, what? Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Then you'll be able to test to prove what God's will, his good and pleasing, perfect will. That's my translation. I think I was close. But living sacrifices, offer our bodies as living sacrifices. The context of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 through 20 talks about we were bought at a price. Now, the context of that scripture, it references the sexual piece of it, right? But the whole idea there is that the reason I'm saying is our bodies were bought as a price. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, it talks about, you know, healthiness is, let's look at that one. I want to look at that one for a real reason. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. It says, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, you know, the preacher takes, when he repeats it, means he's not there yet, right? So there you go. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promises for both the present life and the life to come. So physical training is of some value. Here's one of the things I've learned as I've gotten older. You see that stuff on the floor? Pop-Tarts? That was a wonderful thing in my 20s. And in my 30s, this stuff was awesome. Man, you got the frostiness. Now, confession, I bought them just last week. because I had a couple of them, and if my wife would have seen me eating them, she would have rebuked me. So what is my issue? My issue around health is sugar. I struggle with sugar. It's a difficult thing for me. You say, man, why? Now, here's the thing. I love vegetables. Praise God. My wife introduced vegetables to me in our marriage. Growing up, man, that plate looked one way, filled with those simple carbs. You had the mac, cheese, corn, potatoes, fried chicken, and that was a well-balanced meal in my household. It was great. I mean, you ate that stuff. It looked like awesome. Now I am terrified of fried chicken. I literally say, okay, when's the last time I ate this? All right, I'm going to have Chick-fil-A once a week, maybe once every other week. And then I'm going to, okay, mac and cheese for Thanksgiving. Okay, we won't get to that thing in another month. And then pizza, had that chicken parmesan. Well, that'll probably be another 3 weeks. Fried chicken, not going to do that one. Can't do that. See, I think it's all connected. As we steward our bodies, we can steward God's ministry. I'm so proud of my wife, man. She's amazing. Diane is an awesome woman of God. Just amazing. You know, she's done a great job with her health. She's fine for 65. Yo, she's 65, Joker, 65, man. And I'm ringing, it's like, this morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, what's going on, honey, where are you going? She closes the door. Oh, I don't want to get up. Oh, you know what, I got a Bible study at 8 o'clock before church. 8 a.m. in a Bible study before church. Oh, don't forget, at 3 o'clock, we've got marriage counseling with Bryce and Elizabeth. Don't forget that. You see where I'm going here, guys? It's physical. And what she's done, she doesn't eat carbs at night on her last meal. She doesn't eat after 8 o'clock. She doesn't eat certain food. She counts her calories. Thank God to Marion Opoku, who's really helped her with this. She's been healthier than ever. She recovers more quickly. She's not as sickly as she used to be. She doesn't have the exasperation she used to have. She drove the Valdosta with our little granddaughter, drove back by herself. I did that by myself. That was awesome. 7-8 hour trip, man, had that truck driver mentality, that Mamba mentality, right? Just getting it done. The other night, we're kind of after dinner on Friday night, and she's like putting up, it's like 8, 9, 10 o'clock, she's putting up like ornaments on the porch in the cold. I'm like, could you close that door? I mean, it's like, why are you doing that now? I'm like, oh my gosh. So it's crazy, the energy and all the stuff she has. And that helps you to be an effective minister of the gospel. You can't do it on potato chips and fried chicken and macaroni and cheese and cakes and cookies. You're like, well, Kendall, what happened to you? It's that stuff that I keep working on. But what did I have this morning? I have my shake with beets and controls my blood pressure. And I have nuts in the car to control my cholesterol. I don't eat candy in the car. I eat nuts and pecans and almonds so that I can kind of study the Bible and be right for Jesus. Are you with me here? That's what you want to do. I'm 59 years old. If I don't do these things, man, I'll be on all kinds of medication. I've been warned. I'm not on any now, but I've been warned. If you don't do this and do that, you are going to be on this, you're going to be on that, and you're going to be on this. Now, some people have to be on medication for obvious reasons, structural things they can't control, but sometimes we can control it. That's a good steward. I don't even want to take cold medication. I don't like to take anything. I want you guys to hear this video about a gentleman I discovered online. Could you guys go ahead and play the video? This gentleman wrote
that God has made us physical means that attending to our physical life is not unspiritual. Our bodies are not unspiritual. Paul talks in Ephesians 5 about how we're not meant to hate our bodies, but to look after them and to feed them. He says in his letter to Timothy that the physical training is of some value. He says godliness is of value for all things, but physical training is still of some value. And so the care we take of our bodies in terms of what we feed our bodies and how we physically train our bodies, these are not unspiritual things. These are things actually we should be interested in as God's people. We've got more reason to steward our physical health well than someone who doesn't believe in God, because we believe our physical life is a gift from God. Paul wants us in Romans to offer our bodies as a sacrifice to God, to be a living sacrifice to him. Which means that we need to look after our bodies along the way. So actually the Bible has a lot to say about what we eat and how we eat, at times when it's appropriate not to eat, and who we should eat with, and sometimes even who we should not eat with. And it has much to say about our own physical training and discipline. Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 9 about disciplining his body, not because it's this bad thing that needs to be kind of punished, but because it's a useful thing that needs to be stewarded and trained. So we should, as Christians, because we're Christians, be concerned with our health, not in a way that makes health ultimate, but simply because we want to care for our bodies well so that we can use them to serve God to the maximum.
Amen. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I think that's a really great little, he's written a book about what God says about our bodies. And I really appreciate everything he shared, because I think for us to maximize our stewardship, we got to at least pursue healthiness. We got to do our best to be healthy. The third point is the gift of giving. Went too far. There we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made it a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in love, we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And here's my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what you need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality, as it is written. The one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. And then, of course, 2 Corinthians 9, it goes on about talking sowing generously and how powerful that is. We won't get a chance to read it, but you can kind of study that on your own. The reason I picked the Macedonian churches is that in this climate, in this environment, it's possible that we're in a recession. It's possible. You know, the inflationary issues, the higher interest rates, you know, the cost of everything going up, the lack of supply in some areas, it's possible. But scholars believe they called the Macedonian churches dirt poor. They were so poor. And yet, out of the grace of God, because they had been given so much, they wanted to give out of the earnestness of their hearts. And they were grateful to give because the Jewish Christians had given them the ministry of reconciliation. And see, the ministry, the gift that they had received is them wanting to pay it forward. Now, they went far and beyond what anyone thought was possible. And so I think for us, it's always tricky with money. It's always emotional. We got to take care of our families. I understand that I'm trying to reposition my life as a commission earner in this climate, in this environment, to at least continue to give. It's been more of a struggle this year to give just because there's not been as much income as in previous years. But at the end of the day, I must continue to give because of what I've been given. God created us to love people and use things, but materialists love things and use people. Consider these statistics. 15% of Christ's recorded words deal with money. 66% of his parables deal with riches and possessions. In the Gospels, 1 in every 10 verses addresses financial issue. In the Bible as a whole, financial matters are covered in 2,350 verses, more than the topics of faith and love combined. Wow. you think it matters to God. It's been said that the greatest antidote to materialism is generosity. We combat greed, anxious toil, and our obsessive desire for more by giving to those in need and investing our lives and resources in that which will last forever. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. As we close, we get the gift of ministry. We get the gift of health. We get the gift to give. And not only that, we get the gift of an eternal reward. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not to human masses. Since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Brothers and sisters, whatever we do, work at it with all our hearts as working for God, not for men. Since you know you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ that we are serving. All the money we give, all the time, the health, all of these gifts are applicable to God saying, look, I grant you authority on loan to take care of my household. I grant you that authority. But at the end of the day, when we do things for God, when we all do it for God, for his purposes with the right integrity, there's an inheritance of eternity that awaits us all. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much. We're grateful for the gifts you've given us. We're grateful for the gift of stewardship. We're grateful, Father, so much for the gift of ministry. God, we are incredibly grateful for the health you've given us at no matter what stage we're in. God, help us to use our bodies in a way that will help us continue to bring glory in your ministry. Help us to be amazing, responsible stewards of our bodies. God, I pray also, Father, for us to continue in the gift of giving. Thank you so much for so many over the years who've been pillars in their financial giving. There are many in this room, Father, that have sacrificed so much, and we're grateful for that. God, we pray that they do not grow weary in doing good, that they continue to do so. Father, for some of us who need to step up, God, help us to step up in this grace of giving. God, thank you all. Thank you for eternal life. We're so grateful for Jesus, and we're so grateful that we can give money to you as we pray for this offering today. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.